Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday. It's March 26th. Thank you so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Boy, we have a lot going on today. There's so much to talk about. First, we do want to give you an update on this horrible situation, this disaster that happened overnight in the city of Baltimore. About 1:30 in the morning, a cargo ship, crashed into a bridge in Baltimore. A state of emergency has been declared after a container ship crashing into the heavily traveled Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing a major collapse overnight. Now, the Maryland governor says one person was pulled from the icy cold water and refused medical attention. Another was transported in very serious condition, and they're saying upwards of 7 to 20 people may still be unaccounted for. So that's a breaking news story. We'll keep you updated throughout the hour if we have any more information, but please stay tuned to, of course, all of our news programs, especially EWTN News Nightly, which will have the latest this evening and all the breaking news, and, of course, our radio programs as well will keep you updated. We are going to break from our normal format. Normally, we'd have a full newscast with a lot of details on this particular story and others, but because of the other big breaking story today happening in Washington with the Supreme Court, of course, taking up the abortion pill case, we are going to be talking with Catherine Talala. She's the Assistant Director for Pro-Life Communications. She's a wonderful pro-life person. I've worked with her very closely with some projects we've done together for pro-life media training, and she's just very, very well-versed in what's happening with this case, but also what the bishops are asking us to do. Now, you know, we've been reporting this for the last 10 days or so, that the bishops issued a very powerful letter asking for all the faithful to start praying and calling on St. Joseph and his intercession as this case goes before the Supreme Court. And earlier in my program, I played several different clips. I played a very good interview that Tracy Sabol did last night at EWTN News Nightly with one of the attorneys in the case for the ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, and also a woman who took the abortion pills many years ago, and she says she's still struggling with the complications. She said it wasn't just the physical complications, the pain, the emergency situation she found herself in. She said the trauma of basically having an abortion in your home. And then she said the emotion, and just she said it was horrible, and she's still suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. So the media and the culture are going to make it sound like this is all about reproductive rights and reproductive freedom and giving women more options, and, oh, it's perfectly safe. If it's safe, then why, when it came out originally, why did the FDA have what they called REMs? They put these special attachments onto pills or so-called medications. I don't even want to call this a medication. But these pills that are dangerous and are very serious and are very strong, but then they removed them. And so if you listen to the interview that Tracy did last night with the attorney from ADF and also the woman who suffered great complications from taking the pills, you realize that it's just the opposite of what the pro-aborts are saying. Okay, they're telling us, oh, this is safe. The extreme right are just trying to scare you. Well, don't women deserve better? Don't women deserve to know just how serious these medications are, these pills are? That's why we also have to pray. Now, the decision is expected to come down in June, and that's why the bishops are asking us to start praying and to pray through June. Now, in addition to Catherine, who's on the phone, we'll get to her in just a second, we also will be talking with Francis Meyer. He's an author with Ignatius Press and has a powerful new and beautiful book regarding true confessions and voices of faith from a life in the church, looking at basically the good, the bad, and the ugly, a lot of the problems that we've seen in the last 10 years or so in the church, so the fact that the church is still the church founded on Jesus Christ, and we need to remember that at the end of the day. And then we also have, of course, other interviews that are coming up for you. We're going to be wrapping up with our friends from the Rome Boys, and Joe Matheson is going to be joining us. The Rome Boys have a beautiful pilgrimage, tying it in with faith and freedom, and that's coming up later this summer, so we will let you know what's going on there in terms of how you may register. Right now, though, it is just about 4 minutes past the hour, and we really, really appreciate the fact that Catherine was able to come on with us. Catherine Talala is Director for Pro-Life Communications. Catherine, good to speak with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Teresa, thank you so much for having me on.
All right, so give us a summary again, kind of reboot, in what the bishops are asking us to do in terms of prayer.
Absolutely. Well, today, as you know and as you just said, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in a case that will have a dramatic effect on the widespread accessibility of chemical abortion pills. And the U.S. bishops, in response, are calling Catholics across the country to pray daily from today, or last night, today, into June when the decision is expected. And the committee is really inviting Catholics to really have a focused effort on prayer every single day for the end of abortion and the protection of women and preborn children. As you've said, chemical abortion has a particularly traumatic effect on the women who choose it. So we are asking people to pray, and in particular, we're asking them to invoke the intercession of St. Joseph, Defender of Life, with a special prayer that we have online. And I'm actually happy to pray it right now with you and everyone listening, if we can start.
Please, yes.
All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearest St. Joseph, at the word of an angel, you lovingly took Mary into your home. As God's humble servant, you guarded the Holy Family on the road to Bethlehem. Welcome Jesus as your own son in the shelter of a manger, and fled far from your homeland for the safety of both mother and child. We praise God that as your faithful protector, you have never hesitated to sacrifice for those entrusted to you. May your example inspire us also to welcome, cherish, and safeguard God's most precious gift of life. Help us to faithfully commit ourselves to the service and defense of human life, especially where it is vulnerable and threatened. Obtain for us the grace to do the will of God in all things. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Catherine, what's been the response to this prayer effort? Because the letter was very beautifully written and very sincere in terms of calling on the intercession of St. Joseph. What's been the response so far? What are you hearing?
So far, we've had a really positive response from everyone, you know, on this. And again, I think that sometimes in the pro-life movement, we get accused of, oh, this is so politicized. And really, this is coming from such a genuine heart of the church to love and serve and protect women and human life. And, of course, at the heart of the church also is prayer. Everything in the pro-life movement begins and ends with prayer. So I think we've had a really positive response within the church to doing this. And honestly, it's actually quite similar, I think, to the prayer effort we did for Dobbs. When mm-hmm. the year before Dobbs came down, we also did a focused prayer effort. That was an ecumenical one with different Christians across the country, you know, Orthodox, Protestant, Evangelical, and Catholics. And we had a very positive response to that. We have a positive response to this as well, because this is just who we are as a church. We pray, we seek the will of God, and then we also advocate and we serve.
Yeah, and I think the bishops made some excellent points in that letter, saying that this is not going to stop the sale and distribution of these drugs, but
yes,
it can certainly curtail them and hopefully reinstate the restrictions that were in place in the first place when they came out originally.
Absolutely. I mean, really, this has been going on since 2000 when the FDA initially approved mifepristone under this accelerated review process. And then in 2016, restrictions were loosened yet again, and then again in 2021 and 2023. So there's really been a gradual lessening of things that were really in place to protect women from harmful adverse effects that are now making it basically available to anyone over, you know, virtually without the same protections that were there before for doctor's visits and things like that. So this is really about protecting women from a very dangerous drug, and of course protecting preborn life as well, but putting those restrictions in place so that women actually have a better sense of where they are medically before they take this really life-ending drug, and to have those protections put there for women's health.
I think it's super important, and you and I have talked a lot about this in our work in media and media training and communications and the pro-life causes, for people to have the information to be able to articulate that, not that we have to be doctors or theologians,
right,
but to understand the complications and the details and the basic facts. 1 in 25 women, and you know this, end up in the emergency room if they take these drugs. The
yes,
complications with chemical abortions are four times higher than surgical abortions. And
yes,
yet those who are pushing this are claiming, oh, it's nothing to worry about. It's just those on the extreme right trying to squash a woman's reproductive freedom.
Right. And one thing that's really crazy, too, is that in 2016, one of the safety restrictions that were ended or loosened or ended was that it ended the reporting of harmful side effects except those that result in death.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are, you know, I'm sure, you know, hundreds of that, if not, you know, I don't know how many, but a not insignificant number of women experiencing severe side effects and not required to report them. So really, it's not even known, I think, just how damaging these pills are. And anecdotally, one of the major efforts that our office supports with through our pastoral work is Project Rachel, which mm-hmm. is a prayer ministry to support women who are, you know, suffering after participation in abortion. For all women who might be listening who might have suffered from a previous experience with abortion, I highly encourage you to go to Project Rachel and find out more about it, because Christ's healing and mercy is available to you. But what we, one thing we've learned from Project Rachel is the extent to which women experience severe psychological trauma, particularly after experiencing a chemical abortion in their home.
Right.
Many
mm-hmm.
of them had no idea really what it was that they were kind of signing up for when they decided to take these pills, and that the experience of having to undergo this, you know, ending the life of their child in their own home, just has extreme effects on them spiritually and emotionally. And of course, there's hope and healing waiting for them. But really, it's just so callous, I think, the way that we treat women and the way we talk about, you know, things like chemical abortion, and just disregard their own emotional health, having to go through this process alone, to say nothing of course, their physical health being at risk.
There is a woman last night interviewed on EWTN News Nightly. I don't know if you saw it, but Tracy Sabol from EWTN News did an excellent job at this. Poor woman is saying that so many years later, Catherine, I think it's been, she was in her early 20s when it happened, and I think she's in her 40s or early 50s now. She said she's still suffering from post-traumatic stress because of what she experienced doing that abortion at home. So what you have now is you have the home being the abortion facility, basically.
Absolutely, yes. And it's, you know, it's an extremely traumatic experience. How do you get away from that? And look, I'm a firm believer that Christ's healing and mercy is available to women who have participated in abortion. You know, He wants your heart back. And so we encourage women who are experiencing trauma after their abortions to go to hopeafterabortion.org, which is Project Rachel's website, and hopefully get connected with a local Project Rachel group.
Yeah.
But yes, this is really something that we have to take very, very seriously. We are a church that loves and serves women and their preborn children, and women deserve so much better than having to end the life of their child in their own home without any medical attention or follow-up care. I mean, this is just so cruel to think that this is what women are undergoing, and many also, unfortunately, through very false pretenses. You know, we've heard of Planned Parenthood offering, you know, these young girls pregnancy tests and things like that, and then saying, oh, well, you're not really pregnant, just take Plan C, and then it'll get rid of whatever cells are there. And, of course, Plan C is a chemical abortion. It's these abortion pills. And then women, you know, take them, and then they see something, experience something that shocks them, which is, you know, seeing their deceased child in their hands. It's really unbelievable how callous and cruel and brutal this experience can be.
Yeah,
for
and it's
so
just
women.
The opposite. It's total projection, because what they're accusing us of doing is exactly what they're doing, and they accuse us of being the callous ones, right?
Absolutely. And but you know, we have the truth on our side, and we know that in the end, Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph, and that this will all be revealed. But in the meantime, we do have a lot of work to do to pray and advocate and to speak the truth to those who don't know it.
Yeah. Catherine, thank you so much. I know it's an extremely busy time for you. Catherine Talalas, Assistant Director for Pro-Life Communications with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You mentioned hopeafterabortion.org, but for information on the prayer campaign, where should we go?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You can go to respectlife.org/prayer-for-St. Joseph. You can also just go to the USCCB's website, www.usccb.org, and you'll find the information there.
Thank you, Catherine, and we're praying for all of you involved in this effort and also for the bishops, and to thank them for their leadership, and we'll continue to pray for a positive outcome that will benefit women and give them the truth about these horrible pills. When we come back, it is just about 9:14 Eastern time. It is a busy Tuesday morning. We're going to be interviewing Francis Mayer. He's an author with Ignatius Press. There's a powerful new book that is now available. It's called True Confessions, and he takes a look at voices of faith from a life in the church. It was just released later last month. He joins us up next on a busy Tuesday morning. And let me just give you the weather before we wrap up real quickly, since we're getting a chance to get into that. Snow and strong winds will continue from the Central Plains to northern Minnesota into Tuesday, the rest of today, along with sleet and freezing rain in portions of the upper Mississippi Valley. And then we have some strong to severe thunderstorms possible across portions of the Gulf Coast today. Damaging winds and also isolated tornadoes will be the main threat. And again, I want to encourage you, when you're looking at the news and hearing stories about this, please make sure you are balancing that against the truth of what we just shared with you, Catherine from the USCCB, about what's happening. Look at some of the reports, for example, from last night's EWTN News Nightly. And tonight, more interviews there as well. And we're also going to be covering this as we move through this week, Holy Week. Michael New hopefully will be on with us about how now the medical community and their own medical journals is trying to have an influence on the Supreme Court, how the media are reporting this. But the truth of the matter remains that these are dangerous and deadly drugs, deadly for the baby and very serious for the women, and women deserve to know the truth and to have those protections back in place, which the federal government actually had in place when they first came up with these drugs. So, again, you can stay tuned to us, but also check out our great resources, EWTN News Nightly, The Register, Catholic News Agency, Raymond Arroyo Show, EWTN News In Depth. If you want the full story, you'll get it here. We'll be right back.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholic Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing. 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Walk through the doors of Cantora Italian Market in Plymouth and you are instantly transported to Italy. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomio, and you can choose from a curated assortment of unique food and wines that you won't find at your local supermarket. Fresh handmade pasta, gourmet wine and cheese made from scratch bread and desserts, and high-quality meats and poultry. Don't forget to stop for lunch or dinner at the attached award-winning restaurant. For directions, visit CantoroMarket.com. That's CantoroMarket.com.
Buying a home is a huge milestone, but when you need a mortgage, it's hard to know who to trust. For your home financing, choose Alliance Catholic Credit Union. They share your faith and values and support the local Catholic community. Now through May 31st, unlock your dream home with a minimum 3% down payment, and we will waive your PMI. Save money up front and in your monthly payment. Get started today at AllianceCatholic.com or call 877-950-2228.
Federally insured by NCUA. NMLS number 401254. Equal housing lender.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
London.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
As our previous guest, Catherine Talalos with the USCCB Office of Pro-Life Communications was saying, we have to remember we always have hope in Jesus and the church. The church was founded on Jesus, or on St. Peter, by Jesus, okay? And St. Peter is a rock, and as St. Peter said, after the Eucharistic discourse, where do we go? When Jesus says, are you going to leave too? He says, Lord, where do we go? Only you have the words of everlasting life. And so it's important that I always say this, and this is why I'm really excited to have Francis on with us this morning regarding his new book. It's about balance. We can't walk around with our heads in the sand, act like there's no problems and everything's hunky-dory, but at the same time, we can't get caught up in constant negativity. We have to understand it, just like we tried to explain to you, for example, the story regarding Mifepristone and the case that's coming up in the Supreme Court. But what do? We pray, right? And we ask for the intercession of the saints. And we always try to be there for those in need. And so it's always a balance. So Francis Mayer, just a little background. He has a wonderful background. He's a senior fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in D.C., serving for 23 years as a senior aide and special assistant. I have to say I'm so jelly to Archbishop Charles Chaput, one of my favorite leaders ever in the U.S. Church. He worked with him in Denver and Philadelphia. And obviously, previously, you're probably familiar with his work for 15 years as editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register News Weekly, and earlier still as a screenwriter and a story analyst based in Los Angeles. So the book is from our friends at Ignatius Press, True Confessions, Voice of a Faith from a Life in the Church. Fran, how are you? And happy Easter,
or
should I say happy Holy Week? Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Teresa, and I'm a great admirer of your work for a very long time, so it's a pleasure to be with you.
So let's talk about, first of all, why you decided to write the book. And I want to say the subtitle is Voices of Faith from a Life in the Church. So you're talking to a lot of different people about the current situation, correct?
Yeah. I wanted to get a snapshot of the church at this moment in time. I mean, the third decade of the 21st century. We're coming up on a major shift in the number and type of bishops that we've got in this country. I mean, there are a lot of different social factors that will feed into that, but just in practice, I mean, several dozen currently serving bishops will be retiring within the next 2 years. So the next generation of leadership is just about upon us. And I thought it would be important to get a portrait, an accurate portrait of the health of the church in the United States at this point in time, both for, you know, for individual believers to understand, but also for the Vatican to have a better understanding of the church in the United States.
So what do you think? How are we doing?
I think we're doing really extraordinarily well, which you'd never assume from the kind of coverage that we get in the major media. I mean, compared to the church in almost every other country, and certainly every other advanced country, the church in the United States is extraordinarily healthy. The number of lay apostolates in ministries, the quality of our seminaries, which have dramatically improved over the last three decades, is really impressive. The opportunities for lay people to take over leadership positions appropriately within the church have expanded significantly, and I think. Regrettably, I mean, the Vatican really misjudges the extraordinary quality of the church in the United States and its leadership. I hope the book helps remedy that in some way.
I do, too. I think there's also a misunderstanding of the laity on the part of Rome right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, again, I think that overlooks the tremendous vitality of so many new organizations and ministries and movements that are led in the United States. It's really a very, you know, when you really drill down and look at it, it's a positive and very hopeful picture, notwithstanding the significant problems we have. You know, I mean, the clergy abuse issue still casts its shadow on the church in the United States, and that's a problem. It certainly demoralized a lot of good priests and alienated a lot of good people. But over time, that's passing, and a lot has been done to prevent that in the future. So I think we've got a lot going for us, and I wanted to say that because I think it needs to be said and recorded.
So, with whom did you speak? Kind of give us we have about 3 minutes left before the break. You know, give us some of the names in terms of the persons and the positions that you kind of reviewed, spoke with, the people you spoke with, to kind of give us this summary. And what we should look at.
Well, it's a mix of people that I deliberately, that I insisted would be anonymous. I mean, the bishops are anonymous, and that was at my request, simply because that's the only way that they feel completely comfortable in speaking for themselves without worrying about how it was going to be dogpiled on by the media. I did 103 interviews. Most of them are named. I think 57 of them are with lay people, 30 of them are with bishops, the rest are with religious and deacons and similar consecrated people. So that's a pretty wide spectrum of folks. I mean, scholars, ordinary parents of parents with kids with special needs, new Americans. There's a chapter on recent immigrants and what they think of the country. So I'm hoping it gave a 360-degree perspective on American Catholic life right now, and I think it achieves that. It won't have eternal meaning because time passes and the church, adjusts. But certainly, at this moment in time and for the next few years, this is going to be an important, text for understanding Catholic life in the United States.
And the introduction is by Archbishop Charles Champion.
Yes. Yeah. He's an extraordinary leader, and it was a real blast working for him as long as I did. I mean, he had a unique understanding of the lay vocation and really encouraged the cooperation and contributions of lay people into his ministry. which was tremendously life-giving.
I also think he has a tremendous understanding, and I know you'll agree with me on this, of the culture and the impact of the culture on the church and on the people in the church.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I tell the story occasionally. I was trained in film. That's my graduate and undergraduate degree. And I worked in the industry. I remember driving him when we worked together in Denver. I remember driving him to the Western Slope, some charity event. We talked all the way there and all the way back about film. And he had seen dozens and dozens of them, including many that only really a connoisseur would track down and watch. You know, I mean,
right, but that just shows you his interest, though, in understanding the culture, and which I think is a lot of, he's just incredible. More with Francis Meir on his book, True Confessions, Voices of Faith from a Life in the Church, with the introduction by the amazing Archbishop Charles Chaput. We'll be right back. We'll put a link to this new book from Francis Meir, True Confessions, Voice of Faith from a Life in the Church, on our Catholic Connection Archives, published by our friends at Ignatius Press. And I love this approach. This is what I'm always trying to encourage people to do, to have a balance, Francis, to be realistic. Yes, we have issues. We all have issues. But at the end of the day, we have Jesus. We have the Eucharist. We have 2,000 plus years of church teaching and history. We have the saints and so much for which to be grateful. All right. One of the big issues right now, of course, is vocations. We need to get more vocations. And I know you discussed this in the book, correct?
Yes. One of the things that we tend to miss is everybody wants more priestly vocations. But in order to have priestly vocations, you need to, A, have children, and then, B, raise them up to understand what the priesthood is and its importance. Mm-hmm. And I think we're very good at praying for more vocations, but not connecting it to the logical way of getting them. And so I think one of the most important things we can do is just lay people need to understand that the priest crisis is directly connected to their own crisis of formation of their children and their own formation, and recovering that sense of in the laity, of an apostolic commitment to priestly vocations is just vitally important. You see it a lot in homeschooling families, because the parents can control the environment of their education in a very direct and personal way. It's become attenuated in Catholic schools, and of course much even worse in the general public, because it's sort of given lip service frequently, but not the heart isn't in it. The will isn't in it to make it happen. So that's a problem that I see as a long-term issue. The good news is, as I indicate, that our seminaries are stronger than they have been in at least 30 years. And the people coming out of those seminaries are just extraordinary. There are not enough of them. I think Archbishop Chaput mentions that in the long-form interview I do at the end of the book. There are not enough of them. We need more of them, but the ones that are coming out and will have an impact on the life of the church are really strong individuals who really get popular culture right now.
Which is huge in terms of understanding how the culture is influencing so many of us. Also, the other issue, and this comes up quite a bit, and this is the one thing that it's pretty amazing when you think about it, the issue of financial responsibility, but also just on a local level, with parish priests who become pastors, because many of these parishes are like running a multi-million-dollar business, and many of these priests do not have any business knowledge at all. So this, I think, is something. There are a few seminaries that are starting to offer business courses, but this is something I think that has to be addressed big time.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why Catholic Leadership Institute, which is one of the apostolates that I profile in the book, is so important. And by the way, it's gotten tremendous support from the major Catholic donor community, because the work of the CLI is so vital, doing exactly what you're saying, Teresa. I mean, priests get ordained in order to be sacramental ministers, and then all of a sudden, eventually, they find themselves CEOs of a multimillion-dollar corporation, which is what a parish is. You know, a suburban parish is a major undertaking. And they need two things. They need education themselves in how to manage that, right? But they also need education in how to bring in appropriate lay assistants to help them so that they can actually be the sacramental minister that they were ordained to be. You know, it's being done, as you indicated, in a number of seminaries, a number of universities like Villanova here in Philadelphia, and Catholic Leadership Institute is in Philadelphia as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are resources available, but priests need to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I also think, too, this is just something that's just my own commentary as a media person. I think they need to work with the media, even the Catholic media, a little bit better in terms of not hiding behind statements so often as opposed to putting mm-hmm. a face to an issue. I don't think
yeah.
they realize, and I use that pronoun they, I think many people who are even in the communications offices, sometimes they forget. A lot of them were former reporters, and they go into church communications, and they seem to forget everything they learned when they were when they were out there on the street trying to get a story done. I think having that, I realize I can't comment on everything, but if there's an issue involving, let's say, a parish closing or something like that, I think having that personal face there for them to, you know, to whom they can relate
important.
Is huge. Right.
I saw it again and again when I was working in the Denver and Philadelphia dioceses, and that's a major issue. You know, priests are supposed to be, bishops and pastors are supposed to be fathers to their communities, and you can't love a father who's never around. I mean,
right.
you have to have some sort of personal relationship with your pastor and your bishop. And if you have that, it builds enormous trust, and you can make mistakes and be forgiven much more easily. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because people know who you are and trust who you are. I'll give you an example. You know, during COVID, when our parish was, you know, essentially locked down, the pastor was extraordinary in calling people up, asking how they were doing, finding ways to communicate on a regular basis with those of us in the parish. And as a result, you know, the donations went up. During COVID, they didn't go down, and people came back after COVID was up. But it was primarily because they knew who the pastor was, they liked what he was doing, and they respected his service. And they paid back that service with their love and their loyalty. You know.
Well, they know he cared. They know he cared about them
yeah.
individually.
Yeah, and that makes all the difference in the world. It always does in a family, in a parish, in a diocese. So the professionalization that you're talking about in terms of communications, I don't know how you avoid that because when you're dealing with a diocese, you're dealing with a major institution. But you got to find some way to remain a personal voice to your people.
But it's not that complicated. You know this, Fran. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
You've got an issue where you've got something, you know, shutting down and or whatever. You can have someone come and sit down and say, hey, we're really sorry, but this is how it happened or whatever. Just to have to put a face with a name. Otherwise, you're going to be felt. You can feel like you're alone, that they really don't care.
Yeah. You know, in the midst of when we arrived in 2011 in Philadelphia was in a terrible state in terms of legal and political and financial problems. And it was just hair-raising for the Archbishop. But every weekend, he would surprise a parish by showing up to celebrate Mass and greeting, taking all the time he needed to do to greet every person leaving the Mass.
Yep.
And, you know, after a month or two of that, people began thinking, okay, well, this guy really is kind of interested in us. And it made a big difference in a very difficult time.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, you know what? We only have a minute left. I wish we had another three hours because there's so many other questions I have. Meaning we'll have to encourage, people get the book, and it's True Confessions, Voices of Faith from a Life in the Church. The author, of course, our guest, Francis X. Meyer. So check it out from Ignatius. We'll put a link to it at the Catholic Connection Archives. You can always find it at our bookstores on AveMariaRadio.net and, of course, the religious catalog, WTN. But this means we're just going to have you back on, Fran, to talk some more because I had a ton of other questions, especially, most importantly, about the history of the Church. We cannot forget this is not our first rodeo. The Church has
Absolutely.
Learned a lot
Absolutely.
Over 2,000 years, right?
History is a great encouragement.
Well, listen, you're a great encouragement. You have a blessed Holy Week, a beautiful Triduum, and a Buona Pasqua, as we say in Italian.
Excellent. Thanks, Teresa. God bless you.
God bless. Right. Keep up Bye-bye. The great work. Again, the book is True Confessions, yep. Voices of Faith from a Life in the Church from Francis Meyer, and it's published by Ignatius Press. Up next, the Rome Boys join us live here on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. More programming, Catholic programming, more specifically, coming your way. Stay tuned. Their podcasts are also connected, of course, with EWTN, The Rome Boys. And Joe Mathiesen is here, and he is a farmer, and he provides one of the guys providing a very down-to-earth approach and humor, and he's your everyday Joe, but he does a great job of explaining the faith along with his partners at The Rome Boys. And Joe, it's great to talk to you again. I can't believe it's been, I know we've been texting back and forth, but it seems like only yesterday we were on the adventure of the seas. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Good morning to you, too. I know. I feel like I'm still on the boat.
Yeah, so. It was a great experience, wasn't it?
It was. It was wonderful.
And you're joining us next year, too, right?
Yes, we are. We're coming back. They invited us back. I was kind of surprised, but pleasantly surprised.
Well, I did put in a good word for you. I'm just saying.
Oh, good, good. So yeah. We've got you fooled, too. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's just catch up. I want to talk a little bit about your pilgrimage, because you have a beautiful pilgrimage that you're doing with Corporate Travel that is America-based, and it's all about faith and freedom. Tell us about it.
Correct, yes. August 21st through the 26th, we are traveling to our nation's capital, and we're going to tour a lot of the historic sites as well as some of the Catholic sites. You know, we start off at the Lincoln and Washington memorials, and then we hit the Capitol. We stop off at the Shrine of JP2. Then we got to bounce back and forth from all of our Catholic shrines, but then also hitting a lot of our historic sites of our nation, you know, Gettysburg and Philadelphia and Baltimore, just hitting all of those wonderful historic sites and really kind of putting together where our faith and our freedom come together. You know, in this world, it's always separating the church and state, but we get to see how much our Catholic faith influenced the building of this country and through some of these sites that we're planning on seeing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing when you go to Washington, and I've had the advantage of going there every year and covering the March of Life. But even before then, I was at a journalism conference, and I was doing a tour. I just took a tour, you know, with the bus where they take you to the different sites. And when you look at the various monuments, you see God all over the place, right?
Yes, and when we're in a culture that's trying to remove him, it's wonderful to see that, well, you can't argue with history. And, you know, as much as history is important to our faith, especially in the church, 2,000 years of history influencing the world, we tend to forget about, hey, we've influenced this country as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're talking with Joe Mathiesen from the Rome Boys, and they have a pilgrimage coming up this summer. So, Joe, where do we register if people are interested?
Well, if you want to check it out, ctscentral.com. Faith and Freedom with the Rome Boys. Look us up there, or you can check out our website, romeboys.org, for information about us and the pilgrimage and where to find us.
So let's go back, begin at the begin, as the song says. How did the Rome Boys come to be, for those who may not be familiar, although you're really, really gaining in popularity, which I'm so thrilled to see because you do such a great job of catechesis. But how did it all begin? Take us back.
This week we celebrate 4 years.
Wow.
Yes, we start 4 years of being with the Rome Boys. We started in COVID back in 2020. When everything was shutting down, we decided to get started. And what it is, just we're three dads, trying to live out our Catholic faith with our families and raise our kids in that way. Between the three of us, we have 18 kids.
Mm.
Tony, he's our teacher. Chris is our businessman, and I'm the farmer. So our slogan is, be bold, be real, and be Catholic. And each one of us portrays that slogan in a certain way. I'm the more real, down-to-earth, you know. As I like to say, you know, people, they appreciate the fact that I say what I think. The problem is I usually say it without thinking. So,
That's a good line. I like that one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, but how did you guys meet? How did you decide that this is something you could do together as a team? Because you do click, and that can be when you get together to do a show, you know, with all the decades and shows how old I am, and I've been in this business. It's sometimes that's really important to have that chemistry going on.
True, true. Well, Chris and Tony are brother-in-laws, and so they've known each other for a while through family. And, I was just a local guy. When they moved back to town to get closer to family, we were here, and they homeschool their kids as we do, and they teach RCIA and CCD, so we just had a lot of things in common besides a lot of kids, and so we just naturally were running into each other, and we just had this desire
to do something more, to do something to reach out to, you know, people our age who are chasing kids and that time of life. And with COVID shutting everything down, I'm like, well, how can we do this? How can we reach people? And podcasts and YouTube videos just seem to be the right way to go. And it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, it really did take off. So were you surprised at how, not only how well it was received, but how quickly it's grown in terms of your following?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Completely surprised. I was blown away. I just assumed that we were just going to be, you know, here and there, maybe have a few people on that would be fun to interview, but to have you on our show and Scott Hahn on our show. We interviewed Father Mike Schmitz on the cruise. This has just gone way beyond my expectations.
Oh, well, you guys do a great job. So let's talk about, as a father, and I'm sure you get a lot of emails and a lot of questions because you address those on your podcast. What do you think, Joe, as a dad and as someone who's, you know, raising a family and trying to provide for the family, in our world today, in the United States and elsewhere, in the church, what are you seeing are some of the big issues that families are facing right now?
Oh, well, the attack on the family is just number one. The devil just hates what we're doing. We've had spiritual attacks left and right towards whether it's the homeschool group that we started here. My wife created this homeschool group that where all these homeschool families could come together and just kind of educate in our Catholic faith. And we have now, I think, 7 or 8 families that have joined us, and we're up to 50 or 60 kids that have joined us. And so we get attacks all the time, and so we must be doing something right.
Right.
But I think just the world in general, we just did a confirmation retreat, and we were talking about how there's a study recently in the New York Post saying that looking at the woke culture, they're the unhappiest people.
Yep, that's very true. Mm-hmm.
And here they're saying, you know, happiness is doing whatever you want. You know, do whatever makes you happy. And that's not what our faith says. Our faith says you want happiness, come to Jesus. And I think that's what we're really trying to bring out in our families is, you know, life is hard. Life can be sometimes not very fun. But that's when we have to join it to Jesus and bring it to his cross and let him help us carry it.
Yeah, because how do you make sense out of anything if you don't have a higher authority, if you don't have guidance, if you don't have a true north? I mean, and we saw that, and you mentioned this when you're on Catholic Connection on the cruise with me, that there was a man that you literally just bumped into, I think at the coffee bar. You went to get your wife a cup of coffee, and he started talking to you, right, because he noticed what we were doing on the cruise.
Yes, just the witness. People notice. People are watching, and they see. I think one of the things that we didn't make the whole cruise was not good news. I think we made up, what, a third?
A third of it, yeah, 800 people.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so the rest of them just happened. They couldn't help but not notice the lanyards we were wearing of Good News Cruise. And they just saw that we had so many comments, and this gentleman was one of them, the joy that we had. And it seemed like those lanyards just kind of was an opening for conversation. It's like, hey, we've got something. But y'all, and they would notice that, and they would just start these conversations with us. And he was one in particular just going through the hardest time of his life and having problems with family. And he just opened up and to this random stranger wearing a lanyard and a Rome Boys T-shirt. You know, so it's just really amazing how this culture is longing for something. They want it, but they just can't find it.
Right. Right. So where do you see, I mean, a few years down the road, where do you see the Rome Boys going? I mean, obviously you can want to continue with the beautiful catechesis. I mean, you're doing this in your podcast. You're doing this in your own parishes. I know that you teach RCIA and CCD, as are your partners in this wonderful ministry. But if you had a crystal ball, not that we believe in that kind of stuff, but, you know, kind of give us an idea of what you'd like to see or what you've discussed with your partners in the Rome Boys. I'm just curious because you guys have so much to offer, I think, and you're real and you're funny and you're down to earth, very down to earth.
Oh, thank you. I have no idea. I really don't. I mean, I'm just still amazed that we're where we're at. I think one of the things that I'm most proud of, it just seems in our diocese, and I can't give us all the credit here, but I think we come from a very dry missionary type parish diocese. And it just seems like there is a fire brewing in our diocese, and we're either, I'm not going to say we're the cause, but we are, I would say, the result. We're hoping that this just keeps carrying on and helps inspire others to, because we're just regular guys. We're nothing special. My parents remind me all the time as they watch a show pretty regularly, and they go, man, y'all are getting better. So, you know.
Yeah, parents are great at keeping us very real. My mother was the best at that. Yeah, she kept me extremely humble. Yeah, I could still hear her voice in my head. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I've had experiences through this that have been very humbling, and my wife and my kids keep reminding me of those incidences where when we're recording, I've mistakenly forgot to hit record.
And hey, my brother, I've done that when I've been recording, and I've been in the business for 43 years, so don't even worry about it. We're in the same boat. Yeah.
Yes. So,
no, all right, so you're coming on the Good News Cruise. Before we let you go, again, you've got the pilgrimage coming up. I want to give the website for that, too, because that's a beautiful thing to do, especially right before the election, to remind people of you know, why this country was founded, on whom, and what it's about. So pilgrimagesbycts.com. So that's corporate travel service. So pilgrimagesbycts.com/faithandfreedom. You can simply go to their homepage as well, ctscentral.net, and then just go to pilgrimage page. And, of course, the Rome Boys Pilgrimage this summer will pop up. But you're also joining us on the Good News Cruise, so goodnewscruise.com. And can you encourage couples to think about, Joe, before we let you go, we have about 3 minutes left, why they should consider coming on the Good News Cruise?
Well, I would say, you know, at first you're thinking when you go on these cruises, well, this is not going to affect my marriage. And, yeah, I'm just going to go have a good time. You'd be surprised just from the talks and the conversations that you have, not just with strangers and other people about the faith, but just with yourselves. Just as a couple, you get a chance to sit back and enjoy each other's company. Maybe it's over a drink or a nice meal or at the karaoke bar. I mean, just right. These conversations that you have to just kind of renew the relationship and the friendship that you started your marriage with. And it's just a great time to do that with like-minded Catholics, with 850. But we're hoping this year we're going to take up, let's shoot for the whole thing. Let's just fill the whole.
Yeah, that would be huge, because we're going to be on the Oasis of the Seas, which I think they have, what, between, I think they have around almost 6,400 passengers. So we'll see. I mean, I know we're getting up there. Yeah, 6,400
right.
passengers on this. It's one of the mega ships. But, yeah, and I'm looking forward to having you back on God Willing Catholic Connection, too. That was a lot of fun. Really appreciate that. And appreciate you interviewing me as well and the other folks that were there. We've got a great lineup again. Next year, I mean, my goodness, we've got Father Mike Schmitz, we've got Sister Joseph Andrew, we have you guys, the Rome Boys, and Immaculate Ilibagiza. I mean, can you even stand it? Seriously?
Met her at a conference in San Antonio once. Oh, she's amazing.
She is. And she's got a new book out where she's writing, Joe, I don't know if you heard this, but she's writing about why there are so few divorces in Rwanda because of the marriage prep and because of how seriously they take marriage there. In that area
wow.
of Africa. So that's going to be phenomenal. So she's really going to have kind of a different story to tell in addition to sharing her own faith journey. Joe, God love you. Please tell the Rome Boys Buona Pasqua, Happy Easter, and keep in touch. And we will regroup, of course, after Holy Week, and wishing you and your family a beautiful, beautiful Holy Week and a beautiful Easter.
God bless, Teresa. Thank you.
All right. Keep up the great work. Of course, romeboys.org. Check it out. And they've got their pilgrimage coming up this summer, Faith and Freedom, and you can find out more information. We will put the links to all of that, the Rome Boys homepage and also the pilgrimage, just so you can remember. I know maybe if you're in the car and you're thinking, oh, I got to write this down, everything is archived. So just go to AveMariaRadio.net, Catholic Connection, and you'll get all the details, because my amazing producer, and he truly is amazing, Andrew, will put all the information for you, the links. You can re-listen to the interview, you can share it, and all that good stuff. And remember to pray today. Because of that Supreme Court case, which is happening right now, as a matter of fact. It is 53 minutes past the hour. We have to take a break, and we will be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things. Like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
For Christians, love was central to everything, because before the creation of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in all eternity, communicating in love between themselves. This is going on before there's ever a moment that we refer to as in the beginning. So Christianity introduces into the history of human thought this idea that love is underneath it all. In fact, Luke Ferry, this atheist philosopher writer, says, it's quite clear that without this Christian belief that love is at the center of things, we would not have our human rights revolution that we talk about today. We take this for granted. You know, we have gay rights and women's rights and transgender rights and minority rights and this right and that right. There'd be no rights whatsoever without the incarnate Son of God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. Renew baptismal vows in the cathedral and its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida, the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
So appreciate your listenership here at EWTN. So check us out, EWTN.com, and of course, AveMariaRadio.net, the co-producers of this program. Tomorrow, more information on the Supreme Court case. We'll take a look at what happened and some of the arguments that were brought forth. We also have researcher for the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Michael New, with us on how even members of the medical community and their own journals, their own publications are doing whatever they can to push the pro-abortion agenda. Very sad, but very true. And he has a story on National Review about that. So we'll talk with him. And John Hale from Corporate Travel will be joining us about a very special event coming up with our very own Scott Hahn and Father Josh Johnson and Father John Mercado. So you don't want to miss that. And, of course, an update on that horrible situation in Baltimore. Pray for those people there as well. Have a blessed Tuesday. We will talk to you on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.